some glad day when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we long to see here below, but time and treasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. But come the morning of the rapture, together we'll stand anew while I stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you. Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. I've got a few announcements this morning. If you'll check the back page of your bulletin, if you have one, grief share classes are being held on Mondays at 6 p.m. in Wesley Hall through the month of December. This class is open to the community. And also, the Samaritan's Purse shoeboxes are due by Wednesday, November 18th. That's this Wednesday. Please bring them to the church office, and you can contact Suzanne Hickson for further information. As far as prayer concerns, Pastor Sue is still in the hospital, we believe, and reports are that she's making slow progress. And Jim is at home. And so keep them in your prayers. Also keep in your prayers the Huber family, as Dan passed away this week. Let's see here. There are other announcements on the back page of the bulletin, including upcoming meetings. If you're involved in any of those committees, whatever, take note. What? Birthday? Oh, that's this page over here. I had it covered up. Let's see, birthdays. This week, this past week, and this next week, Karen Downing, Leonard Beulah, and Bob Camburn are on our birthday list. We also have four anniversaries. John and Sherry Patterson, Russ and Beverly Shoemaker, Tony and Devon Buting, and Joe and Judy Weller. And congratulations to all the anniversaries. While the worship candles are being lighted, please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. This morning's praise songs are This Is the Day and Spirit Song.
Satisfy your soul. descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lives.
Please join me in the call to worship, which we will say in unison. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our next hymn is How Great Thou Art.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How
today's Old Testament reading is Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those who redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. Our next hymn is To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory.
Good morning. Praise the Lord indeed, and how great thou art, God our Father. We thank you, Lord, as you bring us together here in the sanctuary, those listening on the radio, and those who choose to stay outside of the church, that you bring us together, Lord, that we can be together to worship you on this Sabbath day, to remember all of your blessings. For the freedom, Lord, that we have here in America, that we can assemble and worship you in the house of our choice. Lord, we know you by so many names. Great Physician. For those who are suffering with health problems, either at home or in the hospital, for this terrible coronavirus that is going around, that has had such an effect on everyone, Lord, let each and every person know that you are standing there with them, ready to comfort, heal them, and bring them back to health. Lord, that you're with the doctors, the nurses, all of the medical teams, that they can turn to you and that you will guide them and allow them to practice their medicine and return health to people. Wonderful Counselor, that's another name we know you by, Lord, that you're there. We can bring any of our troubles to you and that you will listen and you will answer our prayers. You will light our path and show us the way we need to go, Lord, that we will be brought through any trouble, any trial. We just have to have faith in you. Lord, you protect us, and we are so thankful for that. You protect us from ourselves. You protect us from evil and the strife of this world. All we need to do, Lord, is to reach out and just ask you for help. We cannot do it alone, Lord, and we should not fool ourselves into thinking that we're in control of ourselves. We're not. We're your children, and you are in control. We have to turn to you, pray, and have faith that you will guide us to where we need to be. Lord, we ask you for our nation as a whole. Lots and lots of turmoil. And it's because we've turned our face from you, Lord. Please open the hearts and minds of all of us that we may realize that violence and revenge and greed are not the ways to have a good nation as you intended us to be. Make us all more open to you, Lord. And help us to keep our eyes on you so that we can stay in this wonderful nation. For our troubled world as a whole, Lord, for all the leaders that are in positions of power, may they turn their minds and their hearts to you and discern what you would like them to do so that this world can have your light shining even in the darkest corners, that all of your children can live together as brothers and love one another as you intend us to do. We are so thankful, Lord, that you are there for us. We will keep our minds on you, and we will pray as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our New Testament readings this morning, there's two of them. The first is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And the second is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And I will be reading from the New International Version. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And our second reading from 1 Timothy. Chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Thanks be to God, the word of God for the people of God. The message this morning is entitled Give Thanks. And I would just like you to bear with me before I get to my message. I've got just a short history on Thanksgiving, and I would like to share that with you. In New England, the first Thanksgiving Day was celebrated in Plymouth, Massachusetts in 1621 by the Pilgrims, and they celebrated together with 91 Indians. The Pilgrims first set foot at Plymouth Rock on December 11, 1620. That first winter in Massachusetts was very harsh, and 46 out of the original 102 Pilgrims died. It is believed that the Indians helped the Pilgrims get through that difficult period, and without them, the Pilgrims would not have survived. In the following spring of 1621, Samoset of the Wampanoag tribe and Squanto of the Pawtuxet tribe taught the surviving Pilgrims how to plant corn, or maize is the other word for it, and how to catch alewives, a kind of fish used as a fertilizer for growing pumpkins, beans, peas, and other crops. These two braves also taught the Pilgrims the art of hunting and angling. They got better. Things got better in 1621 when the corn and pumpkin harvest was bountiful. Governor William Bradford made arrangements to celebrate the bountiful harvest and to recognize the help that the colonists received from the Indians with a feast. The Indians who had helped them survive were invited, and among was the great king Massasoit. He brought some 90 Indian men with him. Governor William Bradford sent four men out fowling after ducks and geese, but no one is sure if it did include wild turkeys. The Pilgrims used to call any type of wild fowl turkey. In 1623, a day of fasting and prayer during a period of drought was changed to one of thanksgiving because the rain came during the prayers. Gradually, the custom prevailed in New England of annually celebrating Thanksgiving after harvest. During the American Revolution, a yearly day of national thanksgiving was suggested by the Continental Congress. In 1817, New York State adopted Thanksgiving Day as an annual custom, and by the middle of the 19th century, many other states had done the same. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln appointed a day of thanksgiving as the very last Thursday in November, which he may have correlated it with November 21st, 1621. That is the day the Mayflower anchored at Cape Cod. Since then, each president has issued a Thanksgiving Day proclamation. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt set the date for Thanksgiving as the fourth Thursday of November in 1939, and Congress approved this in 1941. Seven other nations also celebrate an official Thanksgiving Day, though on a different date from ours: Argentina, Brazil, Canada, Japan, Korea, Liberia, and Switzerland. The primary purpose of Thanksgiving Day is to express gratitude to God for his many gifts. Although sometimes this gets forgotten in our secular culture today, still most people realize that our Thanksgiving should be directed most of all in God's direction. I've always been the kind of person who wants to ask why. I've never liked it when someone tells me to do something without an explanation. It's not that I'm contrary. I usually try to get along and do whatever is expected of me. But if I can understand why I should do something, it does make the doing so much easier. At Thanksgiving time, we are reminded that we should give thanks, but little explanation is usually given to us about why we should do that. Of course, we know that expressing gratitude is polite, and when we're in a happy mood and wanting to please others, good manners might be reason enough. But just in case we aren't feeling all that happy or worrying all that much about what others think or feel, or just in case some troubles are causing us to feel less grateful this year, then we might want to look back at giving thanks in a different way. It just might help to understand some reasons why being thankful may benefit us. So whether you're already feeling the Thanksgiving spirit or you may need some encouragement, I invite you to consider Psalm 107 with me this morning. Let's see what it says about why we should give thanks. The first reason is to recognize and feel how blessed we really are. One of the first things that we notice in Psalm 107 is that one benefit of giving thanks is that doing so helps us to recognize and feel how blessed we are. As the Jewish people of long ago sang this ancient song of thanksgiving, they were reminded how much God had looked after them and cared for their basic needs. As they lifted their voices in this act of thanksgiving, they felt the joyful blessing of God. The same thing happens today when we make a list, tell a friend, sing a song, read some verses of scripture, say a prayer, or recite the blessings of thanksgiving. We too are reminded how blessed we are. We recognize this in our minds, and we feel it in our emotions. So what kind of blessings are we talking about? Psalm 107 gives us some ideas. In verses 4 through 7, the psalm reminds us that after the Hebrew people had been slaves in Egypt and wandered in a desert wasteland, God led them to a place where they could settle and make a home. Most of us appreciate the blessing of a home. A home can be a house that keeps us safe, comfortable, and warm. A home can also be a neighborhood or a city that feels familiar and right. Before I lived in Sanilac County, I lived in Harper Woods, a suburb in the Detroit area. There were many nice aspects of living down there, but it was a city, and we were kept real close to home. There wasn't a lot of freedom because my mother worried about us being out. When we moved to Sanilac County, immediately it felt right. It felt right, and it was at home. It was warm. It was a welcoming community. It's hard to define or explain that feeling, but when we feel it, we know we are blessed by God. Besides the blessing of a home, Psalm 107, verse 9, reminds the Hebrews that God blessed them with food, satisfying the thirsty and filling the hungry with good things, giving them fruitful harvests and maintaining their animal herds. Verse 20 says that God blessed the Hebrews by healing the people. In verse 29, the Hebrews are reminded that God stilled the storms, calming the distress of those who were sailing at sea. Today we know of God's work in our lives in these same kinds of ways. God feeds us when we're hungry, heals us when we're sick, and protects us from danger. Of course, we can always name exceptions. We wonder why our loved ones suffer from cancer or Alzheimer's or pneumonia, or in today's world, COVID-19. We know of people who are killed in tragic accidents. But we also know the more general truth that people are living longer and healthier lives all the time, and that accidental deaths happen much less frequency than in the past. When we offer thanks for those blessings, we both recognize them in our brains and feel them in our hearts. Reason two for giving thanks is to focus on positive. It'll improve our life if we try to find the positive. A second benefit of giving thanks is that it helps us focus on this positive. And when we think of good things in our lives and tell God and others how appreciative we are, our life will actually improve. This is true no matter how bad our situation is. If we can think positively, options open up, solutions appear, and our life will get better. In short, we draw nearer to God if we remember his blessings, if we remember that he is there with us during the hard times. That's not to say that everything is rosy. No doubt there were times when the Hebrew people suffered terribly. Psalm 107 refers to lots of troubles when the Israelites cried out to God. We did skip the verses 10 through 34, and those verses contain these words and phrases: sat in darkness, deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, rebelled, despised, bitter labor, stumbled, distress, bars of iron, affliction, inequities, gates of death, peril, reeled and staggered like drunken men and at wit's end. There is no denying that things will go wrong. But that's exactly why the psalm writer said we should give thanks to God. Just because bad stuff really does happen, it doesn't mean we should let it consume and destroy us. We can't let it destroy our hope. We can't let it separate us from God. As we see in verse 6 and many other verses in this psalm, the helpful point is to focus on the fact that when the Hebrew people cried out for help, God heard them and delivered them from their distress. God met their needs in a wonderful and loving way. And no matter how much trouble we feel we're in, no matter how bad we feel, God can help us too. When we say thanks, we remember this positive truth, and it enables us to reach out for the help that we need. It enables us to improve our life by bringing God close to us, by keeping him in our hearts. Abraham Lincoln was the president who finally proclaimed Thanksgiving as an official national holiday. 242 years had passed since that first Pilgrim Thanksgiving, and three previous presidents had turned down the idea. But in 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, when our country was being torn apart, brother fighting brother, President Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday in November as an annual celebration of Thanksgiving. Why did he do that? Certainly not because things were going real well at that time. Maybe President Lincoln knew that the whole country needed to put aside their negative thoughts and their agendas and come together as brothers. Maybe he realized that giving thanks helps us focus on the positive and improve our life. A third reason to give thanks is to remind ourselves that we aren't alone. In the New International Version of the Bible, verse 43 of Psalm 107 contains the words, Lord, him, or his, 50 times. What that says to me is that the psalm writer had a clear sense of God's presence in their successes and feelings, in their good times and their bad times. God was with them. When life is going well, it's easy to get a big head and think that our successes and happiness is all because we have single-handedly pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps. And when life isn't going well, it's very easy to feel overwhelmed, scared, depressed, and alone. That's especially true if there's been a divorce, a death in the family, or the loss of some other important relationship, the loss of a job, health issues being faced. Giving thanks to God keeps us from becoming conceited, arrogant, and selfish during the good times. And giving thanks to God keeps us from feeling alone during the difficult times. There's a story about a woman who asked her farmer husband to say grace before a meal. Her husband, who wasn't a very religious man, replied, "I don't know why you think we should thank the Lord when we tilled the ground." We planted the seeds. We did the fertilizing. We harvested the crops. We ground the grain. We kneaded the dough. And we baked the bread we're eating. Maybe that man ought to realize that we did not put the sun in the sky or cause the rain to fall. We did not tilt the earth on its axis so the long days of summer would warm the earth. We did not create the first seeds and fertilizer. We did not even create our strong backs and smart brains. All of those things are the work of God's hands, not ours. And sometimes the benefits we receive are the work of other people's hands, like our church dinners. We couldn't have these if we all didn't band together and contribute and work hard towards the common goal. We work, we play, and we live in a community with God and our neighbors. Together we give and take so that we have each other to lean on and so that all of our needs are met. Giving thanks reminds us that we are not alone. God is always there with us. We just need to reach out to Him, talk to Him, and include Him. In times of economic downturn or emotional distress, giving thanks might seem too difficult, too celebratory, too artificial. But it's important to remember that giving thanks isn't just something we do because it's polite or expected by others. Giving thanks is also something we do to help ourselves. We give thanks in order to recognize and feel how blessed we are. We give thanks in order to help us focus on the positive, which improves our life. And we give thanks to remind us that we are not alone. To me, those all seem like really good reasons to give thanks today and all days, not just in November when the holiday comes. We need to be mindful of God each and every day, and we need to include Him. I'd like at this time to ask the ushers to come forward for the offering of our gifts and tithes, please. You to accept these gifts that we have given from our hearts and our hands, that they may be blessed by you and used by you for your good works here on earth, Lord, that it stems out from this church into our local community and on to our state, local, and even globally, Lord, that it may help each and every one of your children to know that you are there with us always, Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Holy, holy.
As we go forth this week into our lives, may we remember to rejoice in you, Lord, and give you thanks for the many, many daily blessings that you bestow on us on a continual basis. May we be mindful of our brothers and sisters, and that we may be helpful to them, and that most of all, we may obey your greatest commandment, and that is to love one another. Amen.
Thank you. how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed.
I could see